Hello, humans of triathlon, and welcome to the HOT podcast, where we bring you the ordinary but extraordinary world of triathlon, one human, one story at a time, with the aim to inspire and to celebrate this life-changing sport and its humans through real, authentic, raw, and enjoyable conversations with triathletes from all around the globe and from all walks of life. I'm Swapnil Chauhan here with my co-host Charles Hunk and Rad Mom Robin, along with an amazing guest.
When people first look at the sport of triathlon, they may be intimidated by the array of Lycra-clad, Strava-armed athletes and think to themselves they have too many challenges to join the ranks. Perhaps they were not athletic as kids, or they feel that they're too old now, or they have health issues or addictions that they believe they cannot overcome. But today's guest should turn all of those fears on their heads. Not even taking a first running step or entering a gym until age 50, she has overcome alcohol and drug addiction and faced her own fears and challenges to thrive in the sport of triathlon. Now a coach and a determined inspiration to others, she has earned the title of Ironman. And more importantly, she is iron in spirit. Please welcome to the show, Suzanne Martin.
Hi.
Hi, Suzanne.
What an introduction.
Well, I think it is well earned.
Thank you.
How are you feeling, Suzanne?
I'm good. Thanks. Good. Thanks for having me.
No. We're so excited to have you here today. And actually, what normally the first thing that we do, obviously, is we provide the guests with this amazing intro that Robin has just has made. But then we want to sort of give our listeners that sort of feel of cozy with the guest. So we try to go to the regions, right? So if you want, why don't we start by just going into the past a little bit, into your childhood, any sort of time that you think will be appropriate to sort of understand where you come from, and people have that sort of feeling.
Okay. Well, you kind of alluded to it in the intro. I have absolutely no athletic background. I was raised I don't remember ever being encouraged to do any kind of sports. Of course, we played outside, but I actually came from a family of alcoholics. And so childhood was tumultuous at best a lot of the time. And we moved around a lot. We started in New York in Niagara Falls and ended up in Oregon. So we moved a lot. I went to like 13 different schools before I made it to junior high.
Wow.
And I always say that made me able to adapt and make friends because I had to. But never really got into any organized sports or anything like that. And so I think as I look back over the years, of course, I feel my parents did the best they could with what they had, but you know, I was in survival mode, I think, a lot of my youth, my school years. And then I started drinking in high school, as small town kids are wont to do sometimes. And then I was active in that addiction, alcohol and drugs, for about 25 years.
Whoa.
So never really got into sports or anything like that. So, yeah.
So it's 25 years straight from high school?
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it progressed. It was slow at first. And then life happened. And I moved to Utah and I got married and I had kids. And it actually kind of peaked after my youngest son was born. It's when I got into drugs a little bit heavier, and it became a problem.
What was it that drew you to it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think I believe it's genetic, but then, I think I was just always trying to find myself. I was trying to not feel pain, which I think is common with addiction. and I don't know, it's, you know, there's a whole lot of psychology behind it, and probably has a lot to do with my childhood, but I try not to dwell on that part of it now. Once things turned around, which we'll get to probably, I decided I was not blaming anyone for anything, and I just had to take responsibility for myself, and that's when things started changing.
What drew you out of it? What was kind of the catalyst?
Well, my dad,
find a different path.
Yeah, my dad actually died from alcoholism, and that kind of began my journey. It took me 5 years once I kind of made the realization that I was following heavily into his footsteps before I actually got completely sober, because I was trying to find the easier, softer way and wanted other people to fix me and wasn't willing to do the work. And this to me relates to triathlon in a lot of ways. Once I decided that I needed to do this. Well, I also wanted to do it for my family, and I wanted to get sober for all the wrong reasons. And once I finally realized that I needed to do it for me first, and then everything else would fall into place, then I started becoming successful at it. So it was 5 years from start till I actually put down my last drink.
And so what was your age like at the time?
I was 42.
42.
So
at the end of the 5 years, 47.
Yeah, and now I've been sober 18 years now.
Wow.
So then once I got sober, then you know I still had a lot of work to do, and I still.
So what was that process?
Well, I think once I got sober, I just kind of sat in a stagnant state for a while. I had ballooned up to about 250 pounds after my last son was born. And so I was sober, but I wasn't necessarily happy with myself, but I didn't know what to, or healthy, and didn't know what to do about it. So that journey took another, you know, 9 years before I kept making little strides towards it, but never really wholeheartedly understood the fitness world or anything. And then after I turned 50, my husband and I, he's always been very active, and he had had a bunch of surgeries, knees and shoulders and Achilles and things like that, where he had lost a lot of muscle mass. So we decided we were going to join a gym, and we started working with a trainer, and I had never walked into a gym, so I had no idea what I was doing. And so we worked out with this trainer a couple times a week, and then I decided I wanted to go more, but I went and didn't know what to do. So I walked on the treadmill and then started walking outside a little bit more, and then just started getting into it more, and then started really watching, changing my eating habits. And within a few years, I had dropped almost, probably almost 100 pounds at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think this transformation has been sort of, from what I hear, is very self-guided, no? And I think that's something like very admirable, because sometimes we hear people, like we interview other people, and they say obviously they needed some help, they needed some nudging, they had to go to some specialists or whatever. But from what I hear in your case, it's like you slowly, obviously, it took you 25 years of your life, right? But after that, you sort of slowly started to get rid of drugs and the alcohol. And then and this is all just because you felt it, and you took action by yourself. And then you slowly started to get into the fitness part of it. And I think that's very, very admirable, definitely, to hear from one of our guests.
Thank you. Yeah, it was... it was a challenge. I remember, so I ended up going to this gym and working with these trainers quite a bit, and starting to go daily and doing harder workouts. And I remember one day, so I had never ran at all. And I remember one day the workout of the day was to run 2 miles. And I looked at the trainer and said, "Outside? Really?" What? And so we went out, and I was able to run the whole, it was just an out and back, you know, for a mile. And I was able to run the first mile. And then coming back, of course, I couldn't run the whole way. And she stayed with me and we kind of ran, walked the whole thing. And then I couldn't walk for almost a week because my hip flexors hurt so bad. And then I, you know, I always, I've learned not to say never. That was the year I decided that I could never run, but then I ended up, so that was like March or April, and I decided that I would sign up for a half marathon, which was going to be in October. But I have to do things logically, and so first I had to find a 5K to run, and then I had to run a 10K, and then continued to train that summer to run this half marathon, which didn't kill me.
I think that's a great lesson right there, because I think there's sort of a feeling sometimes in people that you have to jump right into the deep end, and you know, you really can just wade your way down.
You can. And that it's the way my whole journey has been, just a little bit here and there. And the next year is when I signed up to do my very first triathlon, which was a novice triathlon at a local pool here. And it literally, I was doing it with children. It was three laps of swimming, 2.5 miles of a bike, and 1.5 mile run. And it scared me so bad that I was actually puking in the bathroom beforehand. Because I'd never done anything like that before.
What was the most intimidating part of it for you?
I think just the whole thing, just an organized event like that, and probably being afraid to fail, that I wasn't going to be able to do it. I actually made my husband sign up for it with me, and he's not a runner at all. And I finished. I mean, it probably took not 30 minutes to do this whole thing, right? And I was hooked. I said, oh, I can do the sprint distance now. I think I could do that. And he said, well, you have fun with that. I'm not going to do another one with you.
So you got bit and he didn't necessarily.
That's right. And what happened was working out with these at the gym that I was at, how I got into triathlon is that one of the trainers was training for her Ironman, for her first Ironman. So I was hanging out with some, I always say it, I got started hanging out with these people and they kind of suck you in. Somehow she convinced me that I could do this. And
that must have seemed crazy at the time, like just looking at an Ironman.
Yeah, I'm like 52, 53 years old at the time. For me, thinking, oh my gosh, I could never do something like that. I can barely do this little tiny triathlon that I'm going to do. So it was a huge challenge, but yeah, once I did it, I said, oh, I can do the next level, but I could never do an open water. And you can tell what happened after that. Did an open
water. Yeah. Your pictures show a fair bit of open water, people in wetsuits and lakes.
That's right. I've always been asked throughout these years, 8 or 9 years, what my favorite part of, which if my favorite sport is. And I've always said, I don't like any of them. I just like all of it together. And I love the community, but I would venture to say now that my favorite is the swimming, because I've overcome so much fear in being able to do it. And I love guiding people out in open water swims now. So.
And what was exactly that thing that made you fearful of the water?
Well, I never learned how to swim.
Just swimming.
When I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah. I could play in the water. I could survive the water, but I never learned a proper swim stroke or anything structured. And when I first went to the pool, I couldn't swim 25 yards without stopping. I had to stop in the middle of the lane because I didn't know what I was doing. And I would get water. And I would think I was choking to death and I'd have to stop. And now as you get used to it, you know, if something like that happens, you just keep going and it doesn't kill you.
So how did you move from swimming to swim coach? Did you have coaching or?
No, after I did triathlon for a few years, I had a great coach and a friend, the one who was doing her Ironman, and she was so kind and caring and encouraging and stuff. I thought, I can do this. I want to help other people. And especially what I like to do is take people, when you say triathlon, the first thing they say to you is, oh, I could never do the swim, or I could never do a triathlon. I'm too old. I'm too big. I'm too whatever. I just can't do it. And I just look at them and say, you're saying that to the very wrong person.
Exactly.
Because if I can do this, everyone can do it. So I just signed up to take a coaching course with USA Triathlon and became a certified coach and just started trying to bring more people into the sport.
So what would your like 40-year-old self say if you looked at yourself now?
That there's no possible way that this is who I am. I've just joked that, in fact, I was at a race yesterday and it was one where they wrote your age. It was a small local one, but they wrote your age on your calf. And this random couple came up to me before the race and said, we just have to tell you, there is no way that you are 61 years old. We cannot even believe that that is your age. So what has happened in the last 10 years is that I feel like I'm regressing. I've gotten younger because I was never active. And now I can't imagine not spending a couple hours, at least an hour or two a day, doing something active. And there's no way my 40-year-old self that weighed 250 pounds would have ever believed it, that this could be me.
And I have to testify, I have seen your Instagram pictures and you definitely do not look 61. Eh?
Oh.
So it is a fact.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I was thinking you. The same thing. Wow.
Thanks.
Yeah, we had a guy named Chris Choi on one of our previous episodes from New York, and he was a drug addict himself and dealt with some mental illness as well. So one thing he said was, once an addict, always an addict. And he basically just replaced his drug addiction with a healthy one of triathlon. So do you also believe in once an addict, always an addict?
I do. And I have said over and over again that triathlon is my addiction. And I used to tell my husband in the beginning that it was cheaper than drugs and alcohol, but he'd probably argue with me now.
I was going to say, I'm not sure about that now.
Yeah. Questionable.
Exactly. As I've progressed, on my first triathlon, all I had was a mountain bike. So my first two I did with my mountain bike, and then I put road tires on a mountain bike and finished the year out. I did two or three that year, and then I progressed to a road bike. But yeah, now I have a tri bike that probably rivals my drug use money. So yeah, and that's the other thing is telling people that they don't have to go out. Oh, in fact, the owner of a bike shop came and did a clinic for us before I did that try. And he's an owner of a bike shop. And he said, you don't need to go buy a new bike. He was very encouraging. He goes, you just use whatever you have. And at that time I had this old mountain bike. And so I really appreciated his not trying to sell, a bike. He goes, wait and see if you really want to continue in this sport before you start making expenditures. So again, that was the stepping stone mentality that I had, where I just used what I had to start.
So it sounds like you've had a number of people along the way that were sort of touchstones that helped you kind of make that next leap, even if it was just a small, phrase or something they said, you don't have to buy a new bike. Or can you tell us about any more of those sort of incidents that bumped you along the path?
Well, the whole triathlon community is wonderful, and I've met people from all over the world in the last few years. But in Utah, we have a great community here, and I was fortunate to get involved with the group that I am now. The people, it wasn't organized at that time, but it is now. There are a few of the coaches, and they just, I remember going out for my first open water swim, and I'd never heard of, you know, I didn't know what a wetsuit was, and just having them take you out and just stay with you in the water, you know, so that you're not freaking out and telling you that you can do it. And so it's people like that that have shaped, again, the way I try to do it, the way I try to encourage people. And my family, even though they think this whole sport is crazy, my husband has always said, this is really great for you. And you know, you do what you want to do with it. And he's always encouraged me. He's never come to any of my big races because he goes, why would I want to stand around for 8 or 17 hours or whatever and watch people do this? He says, but you go on ahead and you just do it. So his encouragement has been really wonderful for me too.
Not the best spectator sport.
Because he's seen the alternative. He's seen the alternative of where I was. So
how did you put your ego aside when you're just starting out? You know, you're overweight, especially when maybe you started swimming. You said first race was with all these kids. So how do you put your ego aside and say that I'm going to do this still?
Because I want to do it for myself. This group that I talk about, that I coach with, this group now, it's a lot of elite pro and junior elite athletes. So when we do group workouts, swims, bikes, or whatever, I'm one of the oldest, and then I'm also one of the slowest. But it doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't bother me because I'm out here. It's like when I'm racing, I'm just doing it for myself. So if I'm, you know, way far behind on a bike ride, it's okay. Because I'm at my level, and I'm not trying to be at somebody else's level. I don't know how that ego kind of gets put to the side, but I think it all is related to the whole recovery and everything, in that I just am trying to do this for myself, and I'm not comparing myself to anybody else.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make when they start in the sport. Not even when they start in the sport, when they're already inside the sport. You know, they start to compare themselves whenever the results come and you see the times. Oh, I'm so bad at the swim. Oh, I'm so bad at the run. But what people sometimes fail to realize is that once you are doing, you've done 2, 3, 4, 5 races, if you compare yourself against yourself, then you have this wonderful realization. It's like, wow, I've really come a long way. So I'm not sure if it's the same, at least that's my case.
But. Oh, yeah. No, it's true. I mean, and especially now that I have several years behind me and looking at it, when I go back to do the same race, I'm just trying to beat myself. I'm like, oh, can I get a few minutes faster than I did before? Because, you know, what's the saying about comparing yourself to somebody? It's the thief of joy. You know, there's just no point in comparing yourself to somebody else, because you don't have the same background, you don't have the same genetics, you don't have the same whatever. You know, most of the people that I train with, they've been doing this since they were little children, you know, and here I step in at this age. There's no way that I'm ever going to be at their level, but that's okay, because I'm at my level and I get better at my level each year.
And you're enjoying the process, I guess that's the most important.
Exactly. I can't imagine my life without triathlon. And I've said, even if I didn't have races, I would still do the training, because it has made me into the person that I am today.
So what is your training routine like right now?
I train 6 days a week, basically. I have a great coach who understands the intensity for me can't be the same as, you know, for somebody else. But I train about anywhere from 10 to 14 hours a week. One of those being an open water swim that I lead on Tuesday night, with maybe a couple other swims. I do a lot of hill work for running, because I'm not the running, I'm trying to avoid injuries from running. So I do a lot of incline walks and sprints. And then biking, I do about 3 days a week, maybe six hours or so of biking, and then some strength thrown in there.
Very nice. And I've seen that from the races you've done, there's one race, my God, that I have this on my, on my bucket list, that is such a beautiful place. This in St. George in Utah, no?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that experience?
That is, it's a great race. I've only swam on a relay for that race because I love the swim there. It's a really hard race. You know, they had it as a full Ironman for a while and then they stopped it because it was so hard. But it is ranked one of the, it's the North American Championship. So it's ranked one of the hardest race, half Ironman races in Utah. But the, if you've seen the pictures, it's just there, the scenery can't be beat. It's a great swim in the Sand Hollow Reservoir, and then biking, you end up going up these red, in Snow Canyon, you go up through the red hills, and then the run also goes up through those red dirt hills. It's an incredible race, but I have,
beautiful.
Yeah, I've always been on a relay team for the swim because there are lots of people who don't want to do the swim. So it's a good way of doing the race.
That was the slowest Ironman to fill, I think, ever in the U.S. Race calendar.
Yeah. Well, and it's generally it's hot. I mean, there's been a couple of years where it's been cold, but generally it's 90 degrees. Whew. So it's a hot, dry race. Yeah.
Now, is the swim in the same place where they had, I just remember all the wind and waves and pulling people out of the water. Is it the same location
that,
still?
Yep. Yes, it is that wow. same one. And I've done it for 4 years, I think, 4 or 5 years. And there's been times where it's been windy and there's been not quite white caps like when they had that 1 year, but windy and rainy. There's nothing like swimming in a lake when it's raining on you. I know that it's a weird feeling. But like this year I had my best swim ever there, best 70.3 swim. And it was, the water temperature was perfect and it was smooth. It was great. So we got all sorts of weather down there, but yeah, it's a beautiful race and it's fun. It brings a lot of the pros there. And so, and they're always accessible, you know, to meet and talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, it's definitely a bucket list race.
Yes, we'll do for sure.
So that kind of brings me to a question I like to ask people because, of course, triathletes are connected all over the world. What is the thing you like most about training where you live? And what is the thing you like least about training where you live?
Where I live right at this moment, what I like is accessibility to anything I need. I'm going to do a bike ride in the morning and I just walk out my front door and I can go do my 90-minute bike ride without having to drive anywhere. I see a lot of people, you know, have to load their bikes up and then drive places to get a ride in. But I can run and ride from my front doorstep here. So that is really great. We have a lot of trails. We have roads that are bike friendly. And then swimming, we have a lot of pools around. And then the place where I do the open water swim, it's about a half an hour drive to get to, but you've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
There is no better place. This lake that, or the reservoir that we swim at, it's definitely my happy place and it's within, you know, less than an hour drive. So it's really great.
And the least?
And what do I not like? The weather, the winters. I'm not a cold weather person, even though I live in Utah. I came down here, I moved to Utah in 1981, so long time ago, and had never been around the snow because I'm from up where you are, in Oregon, and we didn't have snow like this. And so it took me a long time to get used to it, and I learned how to adapt to it. But I really miss I miss being outside. And so there's a lot of hours in the winter that where I'm on my trainer inside, and that gets boring.
So what are you training for right now? Are there any races coming up?
There are. I'm doing local races. We have a great community of local races here, but my half Ironman races this year are Atlantic City in September and the new Waco, Ironman Waco in October. And then I'm going to go for one more Ironman. I'm going to shoot for Cozumel in November.
Nice.
Cool.
My Ironman journey has been a little bit difficult. I signed up for my very first one was Ironman Texas in 2014. And it took me several Ironman races to actually complete one. So my first one, I realized that I didn't know what I was doing, and I ended up bailing out on the bike just past the halfway point because I was undernourished and didn't know what I was doing. So I actually quit that one, which was the first time I'd ever quit a race. So then I decided I had to go back for another one. And unfortunately, I signed up for Ironman Cabo, which for me was not the ideal race because it's hot and humid and hilly. And I actually got pulled on that one. And you'd think that would be enough to make me say, okay, maybe I'm just not meant to do a full Ironman. But then I signed up for, I decided to go for a flat one, Florida. And so in 2016, I signed up for Ironman Florida and really got into training, going hardcore. I knew I was going to be able to do this one. And in June, the race is in November. In June of that year, I crashed. And I broke, I crashed during a race. I broke my clavicle.
Oh, God.
My left clavicle and my right thumb, destroyed it, took an ambulance ride, had to have surgery. So I should have been down and out. But within a few days of my surgery, I had my bike set up on my trainer and was trying to crank out 15 or 20 minutes at a time so that I wouldn't lose what I'd had. And I was kind of being encouraged to bail on the Ironman race, but I thought, no, I'm going to push forward and try to do what I can. And so I drove my doctor nuts trying to get permission to do things. But as soon as he gave me permission to run or to bike and then finally to swim, I was doing it. I ended up going to the race and completing the race, but I was 9 minutes over the time limit.
Oh, man. So, that's harsh.
Yeah. Oh. I know. But I was happy because I got through the whole thing. Every time I reached a new milestone during the race, I said, oh, yay, I've gotten past this hurdle. I'm going to do this. So then, of course, that's on a Saturday night. Monday morning, I signed up to do it again in 2017. And that's when I finally finished it.
Wow.
Well, within the time limit. So, yeah. So then
that is tenacity.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just too dumb to stop.
Or that.
Yeah, something.
You can spin it either way.
So, yeah. But yeah, it felt really good. I mean, I worked really hard to I'm never going to be even a 14-hour Ironman, but I made it with, I finally could call myself an Ironman. So I was really happy on that.
You heard the words.
I did hear the words. So it was amazing. And I felt really good about finally getting that, hitting that goal. And so it took a little while. I said that was going to be it. Took a little while, but I decided to do one more. So that's my ultimate training for this year.
Wow. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we bring you these stories on Humans of Triathlon. Boom.
No kidding.
It's just such a great sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so crazy to think where you were and when you crossed an Ironman. Just insane.
Yeah. I mean, if my parents are both gone, if they were alive, they just wouldn't believe. My mom used to laugh because I tried to get out of gym all the time when I was PE in school. It would be amazing to go tell that 16-year-old girl what she'd be doing in a few years.
Have you run into anybody from your past, or like an old teacher or old friend, school or reunion or something?
You know, from the miracle of Facebook, you know, I'm friends with a few people from my high school, and I don't have conversations with them, but every once in a while they'll pipe up with some comment about something that I've done. And I know they just shake their head and go, there is no way this is the same girl that we knew in high school.
Wow. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Have you thought about giving some sort of personal motivation speeches or something like that? But I think you have so much material for that.
Well, I've been told I should write a book, but yeah, I think that's why I try to do with my Instagram posts is I tried writing a blog for a while, but you have to be so disciplined to do that. And I don't feel like I have enough material for a whole blog post, but I try to do an Instagram post every day that it'll be either triathlon related or recovery related. And if I can reach somebody and let them know that they're not alone and that, you know, no matter what they're going through, that their change is possible and that, that they can do it, you know, then that's kind of where I go with my motivation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've had people reach out to me from all over the place that, you know, oh, I have a brother who's going through this or a sister that has this. And so it's kind of fun to know that I can make a difference and help somebody know that they're not alone.
Sort of the power of the global connected triathlon community.
Yes, exactly.
How has your perception and mindset about life, about the world, and just about yourself changed pre-triathlon and after finding triathlon?
Triathlon has given me a confidence and a belief in myself that I never really knew I had. The saying, I can do hard things. I truly believe that now. I always used to push back whenever anyone would try to get me to do something that was out of my comfort zone. And now, I'm willing to try. I'm really a play on words, but I'm willing to attempt something if it's a big hill climb or, you know, a huge swim. I did escape from Alcatraz and I didn't complete the race, but I did the swim. And jumping off that boat was one of the hugest things in my life to do. And
yeah, that's a tough swim.
Yeah. And, beyond my wildest dreams, there's no way that I ever would have ever thought that that was something I could do before triathlon, before I started into the sport.
And what's the message you want everyone listening to take away from your story?
That everyone can do it. You are limitless, and the only limits you have are what's in your mind. And so you just have to take that leap of faith. And so what if you're going to fail? Just try it. See if it's for you. It's not for everybody, but it's something that can enrich your life.
Absolutely. Are there any people you'd like to give a shout out to here?
Sure. I want to say thanks to my very first coach, Liz, that told me I could do it when I didn't think I could. She was so kind and loving and just believed in me when I didn't believe in me. And then all of my BAM community here, my Salt Lake triathlon community, we are all ages and all abilities, and I have never felt like an outsider. I've never felt less than. And so I appreciate all of them in just loving me for who I am and believing that I belong into the triathlon community, and my family, of course, and for all of their support.
Awesome. And where can everyone find you online?
On Instagram, I'm at TrySuzeMartin. That's the best way to find me.
And last question. Why do you try?
to be a better version of myself every day, and to challenge myself to push farther than I ever thought I could.
Yep. Love that.
Definitely.
All right.
You are living that.
Thank you. I try every day.
Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing your journey with us, Suzanne. It was a real pleasure chatting with you. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely inspirational. This is awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely inspirational journey, definitely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show and love the Hot Podcast, we'd love for you to head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Your review helps us out a lot and would be very much appreciated. Thank you all again for being a part of this community, and be sure to join us again next week for another episode where we will bring you another amazing guest and story. Until then, my friends, keep trying.